Revelation chapter 13. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. Now, I've said that the earth or the land represents or speaks of the area that was promised to Abraham from the river Euphrates to the Mediterranean. And so the sea in Revelation speaks of the nations around that specific land. And I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads. On each of its horns there was a crown, and on each of its heads there was a name blaspheming God. The beast appeared to be like a leopard, but with feet like a bear's feet and a mouth like the mouth of a lion. So, this is the summary of all the beasts that you see in the book of Revelation. Sorry, in the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 7, you've also got a load of beasts that come up. For example, a leopard and a bear and a lion. And they connect with the various metals of the image of Daniel chapter 2. Now, what those prophecies were speaking of was a series of nations that would dominate Israel and God's people. And now, here in this beast that we see here, we have all those beasts somehow mixed up together into one beast. So it's as if all the historical abusers and dominators of Israel and God's people are all brought together into one beast in the last days. So this beast, this power, because it's based on the beasts of Daniel, you know that this stands for an entity, a group of peoples, some sort of collection of peoples who are going to attack Israel. This is the basis of the book of Revelation and all Bible prophecy. So the dragon gave the beast his own power, throne, and huge authority. One of the heads of the beast seems to, as it were, had been wounded unto death, but the wound had been healed. And all the earth, or the land, was amazed and worshipped this beast. All men worshipped the dragon because he'd given his authority to the beast. They worshipped the beast also, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who can fight against him?" So this beast system appears to be absolutely impossible to defeat. So there's going to arise a very powerful group like this. Exactly what form it will take, we don't know, but it is going to come. The beast was allowed to blaspheme God, and it was permitted to him to have that power for 42 months. 42 months, this is 3.5 years. We read about that in chapter 12, where the woman is persecuted for 1,260 days, the same period. Revelation 11, again, the holy city Jerusalem is trodden underfoot by the Gentiles for 3.5 years, 1,260 days. And during that time, a group of people, similar to Elijah, make a witness to the Jews and to all the world. And Elijah's ministry to Israel, when he called for the drought, was for 3.5 years to make them repent. So, this is another snapshot, as it were, in the album. This is another take, another picture, another photograph, as it were, another insight, another window onto that same 3.5 year period. So then something else is going to be going on in that 3.5 year period, or another way of looking at it, is that there is this entity called the beast, and he is allowed by God to have power for 42 months. So you see that all power is of God. Even those people who are very wicked and do bad things, although they do so of their own free will, in another sense, God allows that. Which is why God is all-powerful, and even when things are awful in our lives, you can still, like Job, take comfort that God really has allowed it, because all power is of God, and that somehow, although we cannot see it at the time, somehow it will all work out towards the glory of his kingdom and his salvation of his true people. And that is the great theme of Revelation. So the beast began to blaspheme God, his name, the place where he lives, and all those who live in heaven. He was allowed to fight against God's people and to defeat them, and he had power over every tribe, nation, language, and race. Now that might well refer to every nation, language, race within the earth, within the land promised to Abraham. All the people living on the land will worship this beast, except those whose names were written in the book of life, the book which belongs to the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. So it would seem that within that land, from, as I say, the Euphrates to the River of Egypt and the Mediterranean, there will be some who are preserved, who are saved, and who are going to live forever, and whose names are written in the scroll of life. That could be Jews or other peoples in that area who have repented and become true Christians. And that's why we have a special duty, I think, to preach in that area, to prepare the way for these things. Let him who has ears listen. Those who are to be captured will be captured. Those who are to be killed by the sword will be killed. This calls for patience and faith from God's people. Then I saw another beast arising up out of the earth or the land. It had two horns like a lamb's horn, like lamb's horns, and it spoke like a dragon. It used the huge power of the first beast. It forced the earth or the land and all who live on it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound had been healed. This second beast performed great miracles, making fire come down. So fire coming down from heaven, that's what Elijah did. And we saw that Elijah, there is going to be a sort of a revived Elijah for 3.5 years. We saw that in chapter 11. He's going to be doing this sort of thing as well in the spirit and power of Elijah. And yet this second beast is going to claim to do similar miracles. And it deceived all the people living on the land by means of the miracles which he was allowed to perform in the presence of the first beast. The beast told them to build an image to honour the beast that had been wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast breathed life into the image of the first beast, so that the image could both talk and also put to death all those who would not worship it. The beast forced all people, great people, small people, rich people, poor people, slave and free, to have a mark placed on their right hands or in their foreheads. Nobody could buy or sell unless they had this mark, which is the name of the beast, and that number stands for the name of a person. This requires wisdom. He who is wise will work out the meaning of the number of the beast, because the number stands for the name of a man, and its number is 666. So whatever that means, it shows that, most importantly, this beast system is going to control people's minds, or they're going to willingly allow their minds to be controlled. That's why the mark is on their foreheads. Whereas we read earlier in chapter 7, and we're going to read again, how God's true people have got his mark upon their foreheads. What we think about is the things of God, whereas what they're going to think about is worshipping their beast and just being loyal to this beast. So this beast is like a false Jesus. It's like a fake kingdom of God that's not for real. So these things are going to happen. And when they happen, then we will know. It's like Jesus said, I'm telling you things before they happen so that when they do come to pass, you shall know. So the purpose of all this, I don't believe, is to predict the future. What it means is that when these things happen, then suddenly we will see them. We will see, oh yeah, that was Revelation chapter 13.